we're devoting most of today's shows to gratitude. This time of year, and especially around the Thanksgiving holiday, many people like to pause and give thanks for things in their lives like health and family and great coworkers, Connor. Well. So today on the show, we're going to do just that. We want to hear what you're grateful for, and we'll hear from some experts on how to cultivate that sense of gratitude in our lives. But before we dive in, we do want to take a moment to acknowledge the fact that Thanksgiving is not a holiday that's celebrated by everyone. And in fact, for many Indigenous peoples in particular, it's a day of mourning for historical injustices and a time to raise awareness about ongoing struggles that their communities are facing. So in our conversation on gratitude, we're also going to be talking about how to feel gratitude amidst grief.
There's a lot to share. And Michaela, what are you grateful for right now?
Grateful for you, of course, Connor.
Naturally.
And also for my husband and baby daughter, who I'm excited to see at the end of the day.
Shout out to the families, my mom included.
Of course.
She always gets a shout out. But now let's welcome Janice Kaplan. She's an author, and she's a New York Times bestselling author. She has the book, The Gratitude Diaries, and she also hosts the podcast, The Gratitude Diaries. Janice, thanks for being here today.
Hey, great to be with you.
We also have with us David Ratu. He's a child psychiatrist and an author and formerly an associate professor at the University of Vermont. David, thanks for being with us.
It's great to be back. Thank you.
Now, Janice, let's start with you. Can you tell us what exactly gratitude is and why is this emotion so important to cultivate in our lives?
Oh, wow. You know, there are so many different definitions of gratitude, but I think what we're really talking about is just being able to stop and appreciate the things that you have. Sometimes we talk about being grateful to other people as you and your co-host there just kindly were grateful to each other. And being able to express gratitude to other people is, of course, really important. And being able to say thank you to the people in your life who have made a difference. But also just being able to stop and appreciate the world on your own, I think, is really a key part of gratitude.
Now, Janice, how often should people express gratitude? Can you be overly grateful?
You know, I think it's a great question because I think gratitude needs to be genuine. And sure, if you're just running around saying thank you about everything and it doesn't sound genuine, you're not doing yourself or anybody else a favor. But one of the things when I did the book, we did a national survey on gratitude, and we found that something like 90 or 95% of people said that they were grateful for family and friends. As you were just saying, you're excited to go home and see your husband and child, Michaela. And people are grateful for family and friends, but we don't always say that to them. And when we asked people if they express gratitude, it was less than half of that number. About 45% said they express gratitude. Well, if you're grateful, but you're not expressing it, you're not really doing yourself any good and you're not doing anything for anybody else. So I think so much of gratitude is about putting it out into the world, which is a way of making yourself feel better and others feel better too.
Now, speaking of putting that gratitude out into the world, David, you work with kids and teens. What are your suggestions for parents who want to help their children express and put into words feelings of gratitude?
Sure. I think when a lot of people think about parents and giving thanks, they think about this almost shame-based gratitude, right? Like you should eat your food because there are starving people, and then insert whatever country based on your generation. But that's not what we're really talking about here. I think what we're really trying to cultivate is genuine gratitude, as Janice was mentioning. And probably the best way to really cultivate that is not necessarily to have a talk or to mandate it, but to model it. Kids are really, even though parents will often say that they're not paying any attention to them, kids really do pay attention to parents. And the best way that they can learn it is to hear it from the people around them.
Can you give us an example of what that looks like? Is what form of gratitude is the best way for parents to show kids what it looks like?
Well, what I'm really talking about is certainly around Thanksgiving. This often is a time where people sort of make a special effort to go around and express gratitude. And that's great. I think that that's a nice tradition. But what I'm really talking about is more sort of an everyday conversation so that kids are hearing parents acknowledge things that they're grateful just on a more casual day-to-day basis. They may say, oh, I really liked this comment that this person said, or, you know, look at the outdoors and the sunset, and we're so grateful to have this beauty around us. It's those casual everyday statements that I think kids pick up on and they internalize, and they can start to see things in similar ways.
Connor, I think this means that you need to say you're grateful for me every day, not just around the holidays.
I am always grateful for you, Michaela.
And listeners, we would love to hear what you're grateful for. You can call in at 800-639-2211. Let's go down to Stephen in Stratford. Stephen, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm grateful for my mother, the Earth. The Earth gives us everything that we need and everything that we have. And it's an amazing thing.
Thank you for sharing that, Stephen. Is there a particular, experience you have in nature or part of Mother Earth that makes you feel grateful this year?
Well, for me, see, I believe that the all that is all there is, and the all that is flows through and is all things. All things are the all that is. All things are my relations, so that I'm connected to everything in the universe. So I give thanks all the time to everything.
Thank you so much, Stephen. We'll have to have you on air next time when we talk about gratitude. What a great practice to cultivate. Now, Janice, you wrote a book about gratitude and spent a year focusing on cultivating this emotion and focusing on things you're grateful for. Why did you decide to do this experiment?
Well, it started with the with that survey that I mentioned, where we found how many people say they're grateful but don't actually express it. And I started to think about the great gratitude gap that we have, and that we know there's something that's going to make us happier. I mean, all the research, all the evidence shows that being grateful makes you happier. There's not a whole lot of question about that. So we have something that's going to make us happier, but we just don't do it. And I started thinking about that. And after a while, I realized, well, hey, I was as guilty of this gratitude gap as everybody else. And so I decided to, as you said, challenge myself and see what would happen if I spent a year just trying to be more grateful. And because I'm a journalist, I wasn't just going to make it my own experiences. And so I ended up speaking to doctors and neurologists and psychologists and Nobel Prize winners and experts of all sorts to try to get the scientific backup for it. And what was really interesting about that year is that nothing particularly special happened that year. I didn't win the lottery. I didn't move to Hawaii, but it ended up being probably one of the happiest years of my life. And I think it was simply because being able to think about gratitude every day, being able to appreciate the things that were happening to me, finding that new perspective and that way to turn things around and reframe a situation. So when I might otherwise be frustrated or upset about something, I would stop and think, wait a minute, I'm writing a book on gratitude. How can I find something good in this situation? And simply by doing that just made me dramatically happier for the course of that year. And I've tried to continue it since.
Now, David, I want to know, is there a correlation between gratitude and empathy in kids?
Yes, I don't know that has been extensively studied, but if you think about what empathy is and what gratitude is, there certainly would be a connection, because, you know, gratitude is really acknowledging what other people and what they're doing. And, you know, empathy has that sort of cognitive component. It's hard to experience empathy if you can't sort of put yourselves into somebody else's shoes and understand where somebody else is coming from.
Well, I just want to read a couple Instagram comments that we got. Audrey says, I'm most thankful for found family. Family doesn't have to be blood, and finding some really good friends reminds me of that. Having a community that supports you truly is the most amazing thing. We also had another person write, they are thankful for their children, new family members. Somebody got a niece. Yeah. Another person said that their dad survived a heart attack and a stroke this week. So there really is a lot to be thankful for, Michaela.
There really is. Let's go now to Mary in Winchester. Mary, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you all. Thank you for letting me come on. I love your show. I love the new Vermont edition.
And we love you, and we're thankful for you.
Oh, and I really love you all. So my name's Mary Gannon, and I live in Winchester, but a lot of my work that I do is in Vermont. And I just want to do a shout out to my Social Equity Caucus Justice Community, who just this morning, we were also talking about making sure that we are truth-telling about the real story around Thanksgiving. And we reflected on that this morning as we were saying goodbye to each other. So I just want to support, you know, the true story of Thanksgiving. I'm grateful for people who are, you know, working on that new narrative. And I also want to say I'm grateful for my daughter and my husband, because every night before we dig into our dinner, we pause and always talk about one thing we're grateful for. And I think if we do that all year round, the world would be a better place. Thank you both.
Thank you for calling in, Mary. And we do want to note that Mary's a diversity, equity, and inclusion consultant right here at VPR. Thanks for joining us today. Now, Janice, I want to ask you about something that Mary brought up, which is this idea of, you know, focusing on gratitude while also acknowledging other people's grief and more difficult experiences. And, you know, before you started to focus on gratitude, you were a successful magazine editor, a TV producer, an author, and have a life that, you know, from the outside looks very very privileged. So how do you approach that privilege when you talk about gratitude?
Well, you're right. When I was writing the book, my experience was going from good to better. And I make that very clear. But one of the things I have found is that gratitude certainly works no matter what situation you're in or who you are. And I think I was particularly struck by that as I did my book tour and have continued to speak about gratitude so often and have met so many people who have come up to me to tell me about how gratitude has helped them through truly, truly terrible times. And in fact, one of the people who inspired me to write the book initially was a woman who I had indeed written a book with before, who had lived through probably one of the worst experiences anybody can, which is that her three children had been killed in a car accident. Mm. And it was a pretty well-known story at the time. It was called The Wrong Way on the Taconic. There were documentaries about it and all sorts of things. And when I first met her, her name is Jackie Hansen. When I first met Jackie, she was as fragile as a human being can be. She had just lost her children, who I think were 5, 8, and 9 at the time. And you can just imagine the devastation and the horror. And we had a long, long conversation. And then at the very end, she said to me, "But you know what? I am so grateful to my friends who've gotten me through this time. I don't think I'd still be alive if I didn't have these friends. And I just call them every day to tell them how grateful I am for everything they've done for me." Mm. I thought, wow. If somebody in that situation can also look at the other side and know that no matter how bad a situation is, no matter how terrible our difficulties are, we still have to get up the next morning and we still have to put one foot in front of the other. And sometimes finding that one thing to be grateful for, that little spark of hope, that little spark of sunshine in a very, very dark time, is what can really make the difference. And as I said, I've heard that story over and over again. I met a woman who at the time had a young woman, she was had also had two little children, and she told me that she had stage 4 ovarian cancer and that she tried to be grateful for every day that she had, and that she and her sister would accompany to her to all of her chemotherapy, and that at the end of each treatment they would go out and celebrate that they were together and that they had reason to be grateful and to be together. And I just thought again, yes, I've been very lucky, and I am happy to say that, but my admiration and deepest respect goes to the people who are able to understand that we can find gratitude in any situation and use that gratitude to make their lives and other people's lives better.
Now, David, speaking on this juxtaposition of, you know, great sadness and gratitude, how do you talk to kids and teach kids that you can be sad and grateful?
Yeah, I think one of the myths about this idea of really cultivating gratitude or other things that we do to really try to deliberately boost well-being is that this is sort of a Pollyannish you know, happy, you know, the, like those annoying acquaintances that say, hey, turn that frown upside down, that we're just kind of putting a happy face Band-Aid on things. And that we're ignoring, you know, the real pain and suffering. And I think that that's a false choice. And that really, you know, both in life and certainly when we're, when I'm working with kids and families, you have to acknowledge, you know, sometimes the trauma and the pain. You have to sometimes go to some dark places. But that doesn't mean that these kinds of experiences and techniques don't work. They work with people who are doing well to get even better, and they can help people who are you know, depressed, clinically depressed. So it really is not this one or the other. You really can do both.
Now we have to take a quick break, but coming up, we're going to share more stories of what you're thankful for and the place gratitude holds in your life. You can join the conversation by calling 1-800-639-2211.
But before we go to that break, I do want to share some stories from our VPR colleagues. I spent some time wandering around the building yesterday, asking colleagues here at the VPR building what they're grateful for. So let's take a listen. I am walking around the VPR building, talking to folks about what they're grateful for. Let's see who we can find.
My name is Zach West, Development Services Coordinator at VPR and Vermont PBS. I am grateful for my loving family, my wonderful cat Lily, and to work in a job that is meaningful to me.
Hi, my name is Brandy Provost, and I'm the Junior Staff Accountant at Vermont Public Radio, and I'm grateful for my husband, Chris, and my cats, Bronson and Legolas.
I'm Kelly DeLaurier. I am the Employee and Guest Experience Coordinator here, and I am grateful for all of the people that I work with and able to come into this beautiful building every day, and a shout out to my husband, Brian, and my sons, Tanner, Jake, and Grayson. Love you.
Hi, I'm Joanne Sear. I'm the Corporate Support Manager here at Vermont Public Radio and Vermont PBS. And I'm grateful to work in an industry that I love and for the opportunity to cook Thanksgiving dinner this year for 20 people and the ability that I was able to find a turkey with relatively no issue.
My name is Myra Flynn, and I'm an engagement producer Brave Little State and for the rest of the newsroom here at VPR. And I'm grateful for my little family, my daughter Avalon and my husband Phil, and our relocation to Vermont, and just feeling really safe and sound and just, just happy to be snuggled up on cold winter nights together.
Hi, I'm Linda Radke. I'm the host of the VPR Choral Hour and also Sub Infra People. I'm grateful for the gift of music.
Hi, this is Lori Cagonia. I'm the Director of Facilities, Safety, and Wellness at VPR, and I am grateful for the awesome coworkers that I get to spend my day with.
I'm Abigail Giles, and I am VPR's Climate and Environment Reporter, and this year I'm really grateful to get to see my family and for my partner and for our pandemic kitten named Smudge.
My name is Brittany Patterson. I'm Deputy Managing Editor of News, and I am very grateful for my dog, Cooper. He's an American Bulldog. He's 5 years old. He's 100 pounds, and I love him more than life itself.
I'm Henry Epp. I'm a reporter and co-host of The Frequency at VPR. I am grateful for my fiance and my family and all of my wonderful coworkers at VPR.
I'm Liam Elder Connors. I'm a reporter at VPR, and I'm grateful for my partner and friends and family and books and for music.
And for Henry.
And for Henry. Yeah. Always for Henry.
Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela Lefrak.
And I'm Connor Cyrus. Today we're discussing gratitude with Janice Kaplan of the Gratitude Diaries podcast and book, and child psychologist and author David Ratteau.
And we're taking your comments. What are you most grateful for this year? We heard from a listener named Rebecca who had this to share with us.
Hi, VPR. My name is Rebecca Walter, and I am a school counselor at Thetford Academy in Thetford, Vermont. And this year, I am incredibly grateful for all of my work colleagues who bring a sense of joy, humanity, and humor to the difficult work of teaching right now. It's been a really hard year, and I know that I can come to work every day and have the support of the people around me, whether that's joking with each other amongst all the chaos that's going on, leaving kind notes in each other's mailboxes in the faculty room, or just being a compassionate ear when things are feeling really tough. I really appreciate every single adult who works in our buildings and comes to work every day with a sense of we are all in this together for our kids. So thank you, thank you, thank you to all of my colleagues and all of the people who are working with our kids during this really tough time.
Let's go down to John in Putney. John, you're on the air.
Hi. I work and live residentially at Landmark College, and my RA staff and I are putting together currently in the middle of a gratitude project where we're asking all of our residents what they're grateful for, and that's going to open up doing our programming and kind of our focus in the spring towards a charity that we want to kind of take on to help out.
That's great. What are some of the themes that you're hearing about what folks are grateful for?
Definitely family. Some fun ones. Like, you know, I had one international student said opportunity. We've had, because we are a college for those that learn differently, the opportunity to learn, classes. I have a graduate that's going to graduate in 3 weeks that said it being his final semester, they have a major project they have to do. So he was, you know, somebody said that they were glad they were done with that. But his pets, flowers, trees, it's really varied. I have approximately 100 students. And although there are some themes, there's some really great different answers that have made me feel really grateful to work with them, but also to think about all those different things.
Well, thanks so much for calling in and sharing that with us. Now, David, I wanted to ask you about celebrating gratitude with children around the holiday season, in particular, the holidays that are coming up that focus on gift giving. Gratitude is often shown in response to a gift, saying thank you for a present at Christmas, for example. So what are some ways that families can work on expressing this gratitude without relying on gift giving or material goods?
Yeah, this comes up as a question sometimes, and sometimes parents are a bit reluctant to kind of push things like thank you letters or other things because the kids aren't really feeling it. Mm-hmm. And I talk about a little bit about this in my book, Parenting Made Complicated, but there actually is some evidence that if you put external motivators on behaviors, you sometimes lose some of the intrinsic motivation that might otherwise be there. But what I tell people is to think about this from a developmental perspective. And sometimes if there is intrinsic gratitude and a kid wants to express it in different ways, go for it and allow for some flexibility. But I think it's okay to sometimes nudge kids, and they sometimes need a little bit of a external push, and then they can actually see some of the internal, so the intrinsic motivation can come from it. Like a lot of kids don't like Brussels sprouts, but if you kind of urge them to try it, some of them will realize that it's a great Thanksgiving vegetable. So, I think you have to approach it sequentially and allow kids to express gratitude in different ways.
Now, I want to read some more comments from Instagram. We have one person that writes that they're grateful for friends, family, kind strangers, and public health. Another person says dog walks and the changing of the seasons. Another one says healthy friends and family. Now, Janice, I want to ask you, when it comes to showing gratitude, how do we show gratitude respectfully? Because I think oftentimes, you know, we get so excited about something that, you know, a big accomplishment we've done, and we maybe overdo it and it comes off as bragging. So where's the balance?
Well, I'm not sure how gratitude ends up being bragging, but I think when you're expressing, there are so many different ways that you can express gratitude to someone. And I think one thing that has been found in research to really have a huge effect is actually to write a letter of gratitude. And David was mentioning how important gratitude can be in somebody's mental health. And there's been research finding that writing a letter of gratitude can actually decrease depression, can even decrease suicidal thoughts in severely depressed people. And writing a letter of gratitude just means thinking about somebody in your life who you've never thanked before, or maybe haven't thanked appropriately. It could be a teacher you had long ago, your first mentor, somebody who gave you your first job, maybe a clergy person who had a big effect on you, and sit down and write a couple of paragraphs to them. And the research shows that if you actually go and speak to the person, or maybe these days do it by Zoom and read them the letter, it'll have a huge effect. But I think you can also just send it off. And I've done that a couple of times. I did it once in particular when I was writing the gratitude diaries, and the person I sent it to sent me back a very nice reply, and I'm sure he was pleased to get the letter, but I felt so great about it myself. And it's, you know, I remember what I wrote in that letter all these couple of years later. So I think that that's a very nice thing to think about doing.
Yeah. Well, David, you mentioned these, urging kids to write thank you letters and getting them in the habit of doing that. Janice, you're also talking about writing letters of gratitude. I've also seen on Facebook, for example, folks some folks have gotten into the practice of posting, you know, three things that they're grateful for on social media every day or once a week, or writing down three things in a journal before they go to bed. Janice, do you have other suggestions of tangible ways that people can incorporate gratitude into a daily or at least regular habit?
Sure. I think the first thing is that gratitude should never feel like a chore or a burden. You know, and sometimes when people talk about keeping a gratitude journal, I'll hear, yeah, I kept it for a while and it felt really good, but you know, who wants to write an essay every night? So one of the things I suggest is in terms of starting a gratitude habit, if you want to do that, is take a scrap of paper and put it next to your bed and tell yourself that for the next week, you're going to write down every night one thing that made you grateful. Just a couple of words. You don't need a whole essay. You don't need to go on social media. Just a couple of words. And what that's going to do is that at some point in the course of the day, you're going to remember that piece of paper next to your bed. And you're going to think, oh no, I've had a really horrible day. I have nothing to write on that piece of paper. What am I going to do? And you'll stop and you'll look around and you'll go, well, I'm grateful that it's sunny today. I'm grateful that I live in Vermont where it's so beautiful. I'm grateful that I have this view of the mountains. Whatever it may be, you're just going to stop for that 1 minute and it's going to change how you feel and it's going to give you a different perspective. And that night when you go and you see that piece of paper and you scribble down those couple of words, it's going to remind you that that there are good things going on. And I think if you start that and you just do it for 1 week, it starts giving you that habit. And really, it's the habit that you want to develop, because what you want to be able to do for yourself is to just change your perspective and look at things differently. And you were talking before, and I think David was quite appropriately saying that sadness and gratitude can live together. So when we're talking about gratitude, we're not talking about making all the bad stuff go away. We're saying, how do you find some good in whatever is going on? And that's a great ability that you can give yourself.
Well, listeners, if you have particular things that you're grateful for this year, we'd love to hear from you. Also, does your family have special traditions for expressing gratitude around the holidays? Give us a call at 800-639-2211. That's 800-639-2211. We also heard from that listener, Andy in Holland. Let's take a listen.
Hi, this is Andy calling from Holland. I'm thankful for our state wildlife management areas, in particular the Bill Slattic Wildlife Management Area. Whether it's hiking out to the remote wilderness ponds or wandering around the miles of roads in the hurricane, it's a really great place to go view wildlife and to have some real peace and quiet. I'm very thankful that it's something that we all share as well.
Now, Michaela, you asked the listeners to share what their holiday traditions were when it came to expressing gratitude. What are yours?
Well, Connor, every year my husband and I hand make holiday cards. It was a tradition that I came to grudgingly. I am the type of person that would rather just order them, but he insists that we make them by hand, and I've come to really love it because we also write a note, a handwritten note to friends on the back of them, and it gives me a minute to pause and think about, you know, something I want to say to each specific friend or family member, and something usually that I'm grateful for comes right up. What about you?
Well, my family, we normally take about 20 minutes at the beginning of our Thanksgiving meal, and we all sit down and we go around and we just express what we are thankful for. And normally it's broken up into a couple different categories, friends, family, life. But yeah, so we just take the time to just be thankful and appreciate one another because we don't get to see each other together that often.
I love that tradition. And Janice and David, we'd love to hear from you as well. Do you have specific family traditions around gratitude? And David, let's start with you.
Well, we often try to go around the table during Thanksgiving and bring up things. But as I mentioned before, I think sometimes I can feel a little bit forced. And what we often try to do is just in more casual occurrences, just make sure that we're acknowledging things that we're grateful and everyday speech.
And Janice, what about you?
Well, very much like, first of all, I love both of your traditions of the writing the holiday cards and the family going around the table. We definitely do the family at the table, but we also want to make sure that gratitude isn't just a once a year holiday. And right. So even when my kids were very little, long ago now, we used to take one night a week. And for us, it was usually a Friday night. People can do it whenever they have a family meal. And we'd say one good thing that happened this week. And no matter how little your kids are, they get the idea of one good thing that happened. And that's sort of really what gratitude is all about. So that's a tradition that that my family has continued and that my kids who are all grown up now have continued themselves, I'm happy to say. And I think it's also just a lovely thing that parents can do with their kids. You can do it before your children go to bed when you're reading them a story, and close the book and ask them one good thing that happened today. Because what's nicer than that? Kids, like all of us, their minds are filled with all the bad stuff that happened and all of the terrors of the fourth grade playground. But if you recognize those and you say, yeah, that was a problem, but now let's think about one good thing that happened, it gives them a little happiness and a little way to help themselves know that they can look for the good also.
I love that.
Yeah, very often if you ask a child, how was your day? You get this shrug or blank stare. But if you can be specific, what made you laugh today? You know, things like that, you can often find out a lot more.
I can think of a lot of parents are going to be using that technique when they're picking their kids up from school.
Let's go down to Titus in Montgomery. Titus, you're on the air.
Thank you so much. I'm grateful for the natural world. I'm grateful for living in Vermont. I'm grateful to people in our community, my family of origin, the family my wife and I have created. And underlying all of that for me as a religious person is gratitude to God, the sense of God providing, God sustaining, God empowering. And so for me, the connectedness of all the other gratitudes of my life with thankfulness to God is just integral. And for me, makes life whole.
Now, I see in a note from one of our producers that you're a pastor in Enosburg. Is that right?
That's right, St. Matthew's Episcopal Church in Enosburg Falls.
So how do you incorporate discussions of gratitude when you're speaking to your church community?
Well, as Episcopalians, we celebrate the Eucharist as often as possible, and Eucharist means Thanksgiving. That's the communion service. That's the Lord's Supper. And so really, as we come together in worship, we're always coming together with a sense of gratitude to God, thankfulness for what God has done in our lives and in the life of the cosmos in Christ.
Well, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your experiences with your own community there. Now, Janice, I would love to hear from you since you've done so much research into gratitude and talked to experts in all sorts of different fields. What role does religion tend to play? Is, you know, going to a church or synagogue or other place of worship a place that people typically, you know, focus on gratitude more than in other parts of their lives?
Well, I think gratitude is part of just about every religion right. around the world. I actually kept my book very secular because I think that whatever you're calling something greater that you're grateful for, it's all, we can all find commonalities in our way to express that gratitude. But it is interesting to me that it is so powerful in all religions. And I actually came across a Benedictine monk. I didn't meet him, but his work is quite well known. His name is David Steindl-Rast. And he's done a great deal of work on gratitude. And he provided me, or from my readings of him, with one of the best statements I've heard about gratitude, which is that he said, it's not happiness that makes us grateful, it's gratitude that makes us happy. And I really loved that because I think a lot of people do think, well, you know, I'll be grateful when I have something to be grateful for. And when something good happens, then I'll be grateful. But I think his pointing out that it's not happiness that makes us grateful, but gratitude that makes us happy is really quite profound, because he's saying that whatever is going on in the world, you have the control of deciding if you're going to be happy or not. And that's by how you express gratitude or not.
Now, David, we've talked about this a little bit, but I want to know if you can explain the importance of being able to document or journal or keep some type of record of your day and the things that you were grateful for in that day, especially when it comes to kids.
It can be a very useful and more powerful way of really thinking through your gratitude, being able to refer back to some of the things in lower moments. So the fact that the act of writing it, I think, really makes things more concrete and more available for kids, because, you know, sometimes when you're in a lower moment, it's harder to access those things off the top of your head. So having some of these tools can really help.
Now we're going to.
I'm sorry, I was just going to say, one of the things you can do rather than just writing is take photographs. You know, use social media for good. If your family is spread out or your kids are spread out, have everybody, you know, make Gratitude Tuesday and take a picture that they post on Instagram of something that makes them grateful. So I think there are lots of ways that you can record those good feelings.
That's actually a really good point, because I think back to, you know, growing up and, you know, those sad days, and my mom would always say, you know, the sad days always feel like they're never going to end, and the good times always seem really short. And so being able to document those good times really helps make those good times feel a lot longer.
Mama Cyrus is so wise. Well, we're going to have to take a quick break soon. But before we do, I'd love for each of you to share one thing that you're grateful for this year. And Janice, let's start with you.
Well, I'm grateful that my family has been able to be together and has been healthy and well, and that we all seem to be slowly emerging from the upheavals and pandemic of the last couple of years and starting to see a little hope on the other side.
Thank you. And David, what about you?
Well, my family and I recently moved from Vermont to Oregon, and we are having one of the largest extended family Thanksgivings that we've ever had, which after COVID and really having to hunker down just feels wonderful. So very, very grateful for that.
That's Janice Kaplan. She's the author of The Gratitude Diaries and host of the podcast, The Gratitude Diaries. Her latest book is The Genius of Women. And we also had David Ratu. He is a child psychiatrist and author. Thank you both for joining us on Vermont Edition.
Thank you. A pleasure to be with you.